Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for our time together, and I thank you for joining me. Well, we're going to begin a new topic today, and with the Lord's help, we're going to have perhaps a little greater understanding of what it means to have the mind of Christ. This is one of the commands that is given to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We are told to have the mind of Christ. And so I'd like to sort of approach a little different angle in terms of our brain activity, if you will. When we sin outwardly in word or in behavior, you know, it all begins, first of all, in our mind. And unless we carefully monitor what we're thinking, we, without even being conscious, we can allow angry words or hurtful words or negative behavior in terms of giving into temptation. All sorts of things can assail us. And that's why we need to be very careful about, you know, Proverbs talk about put a guard over our tongue, because the tongue is the smallest member in the body, James said, but it can create a world of fire and trouble and trial. So we must take seriously this command to let the mind of Christ be in us. And of course, Jesus, he's just like us in terms of his physical body. Of course, now he has a glorified body. But when he was born into this earth, he was fully God, but fully human. Every aspect, he bled, he hurt. If he fell as a child, he probably cried. His physical makeup was just like ours, as well as his mental capabilities. Now, I don't want to get too deep, but let's just say, without going into, you know, scientific details, but there are two sections of our mind, if you will, or our person. Well, from what I understand, in the Hebrew concept, there's the physical body, which is readily understood, and then they rather combine the soul and the spirit. I understand the Greeks really tended to divide the soul and the spirit. And of course, it does say in Thessalonians that our whole body, soul, and spirit would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Now, Our logical mind is our conscious mind, the left brain, the things that we use to concentrate on, learn, understand. And then there's another part, the unconscious will, if you will, or the subconscious, which pertains to unconscious activities, if you will, which go on in our mind. It's kind of partly conscious. Webster defines it as a part of the mind which appears to act without a conscious effort of the will. And that's where we see the connection with the soul, our will, our emotions. Many times, when we hear something, we immediately react emotionally. For example, and we don't even have to think about it. That is a response of this unconscious part of our mind. And so, having said that, let's just take a moment in prayer as we are going to spend the next few days looking at this subject. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that your Word is inerrant, that it is complete. It is our instruction for righteousness, to walk in the ways of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that our entire beings, our entire body is a living sacrifice to you. And Lord, that includes our minds, and we're asking for you to sanctify our minds, sanctify our spirits and souls and bodies for your service, that we might bring glory to your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, let me share just a few passages of scripture found in the book of Acts, and I'm going to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. This is when persecution started. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, than were the days of unleavened bread. So basically, he seized Peter and put him in prison. Many times in our natural man, I guess you could say the carnal man, those that don't know the Lord, although even this can be true among some Christians, there's a desire in us that we want to be pleasing to others. We kind of want to run with the pack. Well, whenever we do something that brings approval from those around us, what is our emotional response? Well, we tend to do even more in order to have more acceptance and acclaim. Obviously, that we see this operating right in this passage I read you about Herod. He saw that it pleased the Jews, and so, oh, okay, they liked that James was killed by the sword, so he took hold of Peter and threw him in prison. And this we see very evident, perhaps not quite as obviously as we grow into adulthood, but it's certainly very prevalent and easy to spot in the youth, especially teenagers. They're very, very sensitive and very subjective to peer pressure, what their friends do or don't do. And beloved, as we grow, even in a natural way, we understand the majority is not always right, but generally, without God, they're almost always wrong. Herod killed James. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And in Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 27, we see another instance of this occurring with a ruler. But after 2 years, Porcius Fester came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. In other words, Paul was in prison, and because he wanted to please the Jews, he left Paul there. He left Paul in prison. And so throughout, it's a basic tendency of human nature. People want to be accepted, and they'll go along with the crowd today. They do things because others do them, because they're popular. It's the thing to do. And so much of society, those that aren't serving the Lord, they're basically brainwashed into doing whatever what is popular, whatever's advertised, whatever the media are telling them. Do whatever anyone else is doing. And this is true in terms of lifestyles, in clothing, in behavior, in activities. We just tend to copy one another. Unconsciously or subconsciously, people follow the crowd and do the things everyone else does. Why? Because we are basically meant for fellowship. That's a godly thing. And we don't want to be too different from our neighbor. So, what do we do? How do we respond to this? Well, there's four ways that we can respond to these truths, these facts of human nature. One, we can hide from it, but in doing so, we then become unsocial or antisocial. And then our behavior is then abnormal in the reverse sense. In other words, seeking to please others, we just withdraw and become hermits, if you will. We don't want to be engaged with other people. So that's one way. Or we can stay and fight the urge to conform, but depending on our attitudes, that can make us antagonists toward everything and everyone around about us. So that's another option, which is not very successful. Or, 3, we can surrender to the pressures of the world around us. We basically just give in, give our minds over to doing whatever everyone else does because we want to see that that will cause them to accept us. They will be pleased with us, just as Herod did with Peter and Felix did with Paul. But when we do that, we basically are slaves, if you will, or servants to forces, to people, to ideas and pressures that make us a non-entity. We're not acting independently. We're not acting as a thinking person. But no, we are simply going with the crowd. There is another option for us. There's another choice. Fourthly, we can do, by a choice of our will, with our minds, what we did with our hearts when we became Christians. We surrendered our heart, our spirits to the Lord. We, beloved, can surrender our minds, our logical, conscious, and unconscious minds to the Lord, because we don't, as lay people, even scientists probably don't understand the intricacies, but we are very complex. But with our heart, we want to say, Lord, we want you to be Lord over everything within us. And so then, instead of becoming antisocial and useless to the cause of Christ, what happens? We come into an inner freedom that God wants for us as a new creation, and only as new creatures can we receive that freedom in totality. Then God sends us back in the world to live and work and act and talk constructively, to be an ambassador for Him. In reading about the lives of the disciples, we find that they did just that. Well, my time has flown, and we will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. And if you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write and share those needs. I will personally read your letter. No one else does it, as well as answer and send back a word of encouragement, whatever that would be, scripture, prophetic word, whatever God has for your blessing. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so that I can respond personally, but I always will confirm receipt as well as pray. I love you, and thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.